Ecolab Water for Climate. Less water, more growth. Results will vary. Learn more at ecolab.com/EWC. Ecolab Water for Climate. Transforming the way the world thinks about water.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, September 16th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Is artificial intelligence going to fundamentally change everything we do? Or just enhance the ways we already do things? Our tech columnist Christopher Mims says increasingly it's looking like the latter option. He'll join us to explain. And then, Google is facing a lot of uncertainty. And investors don't like uncertainty. We'll tell you what's causing it and how it's changing Wall Street's outlook for Google. First, though, big tech companies like Apple, Google, and Microsoft have announced new versions of their products with AI features. It could be a sign that this new powerful technology is destined to be integrated into devices and software we already use, rather than served up as its own product. Our tech columnist Christopher Mims is here to tell us more. Christopher, can you tell us about an industry where AI is being integrated into existing workflows?
Yeah, the construction industry is a really interesting case. Rather than folks going to ChatGPT or something like that to try to ask it questions or analyze data for them or whatever, lots of companies are actually embedding even generative AI directly in the systems that folks are using. One person said to me that in the future, this could go as far as generative design for buildings. You might prompt it and say, like, I need an apartment, it's these dimensions, and I need this many units to make a profit. Design the whole thing for me.
What does the way the construction industry is using AI tell us more broadly about its development?
What it shows us is that for a company like OpenAI, you might think that their big future business might be selling as many $20 a month subscriptions to ChatGPT as possible. But even they have told me that they think the future is companies paying to access their AI and then using those features inside of their own software.
You mentioned OpenAI, but what kinds of companies could benefit most if AI takes off as a feature rather than a standalone product?
Here, it's definitely an arms race between the usual tech giants, Apple, Google, Microsoft. There are, though, a lot of upstarts. Like, there's a lot of potential for AI-first companies to come along and disrupt existing players. So I'll just give you one example. We all hate doing expense reports and reconciling invoices within that process. That's something that AI-first companies have already solved. Now, is SAP Concur going to add that as a feature to Workday before they get disrupted by these other companies? I don't know.
Give us an example of how these sort of two approaches, a feature approach and a standalone product approach, can work for some tasks.
So one of my favorite everyday tasks that AI can speed up is the onerous task of you get a PDF or a Word doc from your kid's school. It has a bunch of dates and times. You need to put it into your calendar, right? So this is 30 minutes or an hour of tedium, especially at the beginning of the school year. Well, if you're on a Google's new Pixel phone, you can just click the action button and be like, hey, Gemini, which is their AI model, take this Word doc. You know, this is what it is, turn it into dates and times on my Google Calendar. And it will do that. And it will walk you through and ask you, oh, is this what you wanted for this one, for this one, for this one? Contrast that with the sort of more chatbot-centric approach. If you want to do that with ChatGPT, you've got to have a little conversation with it, upload the document, and then you've got to know that you can ask it to export all of that information in a particular file format, which you will then download. And then you've got to go upload that to your calendar. So this model of talking to chatbots, it's fine if you're a coder, you know, and you're comfortable moving things in and out of them. But for the other 99% of us going forward, it's clear that Google and Apple's model, where the AI is just integrated into things you already use, is going to be superior.
All right. That was our columnist, Christopher Mims. And I just want to note that News Corp, owner of the Wall Street Journal, has a content licensing partnership with OpenAI. Coming up, the full impact of the Justice Department's two antitrust cases against Google aren't yet known, but investors are starting to consider the possibilities. We'll tell you more after the break. Google has had a rough go of it lately. It lost the DOJ's antitrust case over search, though it's expected to appeal. Now the company is back in court, facing monopoly claims against its ad tech business. And investors are less optimistic that Google will come out of both of these cases unscathed. Here to tell us more is our Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher. So for those who haven't been following this, a federal judge ruled last month that Google had a monopoly in search and that it suppressed competition by paying operators of web browsers and phone manufacturers to make Google the default search engine. In a second separate case that began last week, the government is making claims about its ad tech business. What are those?
They're essentially similar in the sense of they're claiming Google has too much dominance in this business. And this is a business where Google's kind of has dual sides of the transaction, has these tools that help advertisers buy and sell ads, but Google's involved in such a way that a lot of people think that it just has too much power. And it's a pretty significant business for them, but it's actually not relative to their broader search business and other things. It's actually roughly 10-11% of revenue, according to some of the documents filed in the case.
You know, Google and other big tech companies, they have faced threats of government crackdowns for years now. So what's different in investors' minds this time around?
Part of that is exactly that. Investors had this headline fatigue because arguably since the Trump administration and even the Biden administration, we've had these just multiple years of threats against what the government's going to do, crack down, try to break these companies up. And those efforts have mostly come to naught when there's been, in fact, tech companies have scored some victories. Meta had beat back the FTC in one smaller case. The government really tried to stop Microsoft from buying Activision. That didn't work. And so now when you have Google loses a big case, and then another big case starts a month later in which a lot of people think they have even less of a chance to win. That's forced Wall Street to get their head around the idea that it's probably not going to be business as usual for them.
So how are analysts viewing the potential of a breakup in terms of its search business?
Analysts are not putting a high probability on a breakup because one of the potential remedies would be like Google spinning out Android and Chrome into separate businesses. But that doesn't really work. They don't really work as standalone businesses. There's more of a thought that there's going to be different types of penalties there, maybe things that would prevent Google from paying Apple and these other companies for the search placement in a way that could open up those slots to a company like Microsoft for Bing. That's what's seen as probably a bigger probability in that particular case. And how that would play out for Google is a big question.
And of course, we won't know what those remedies are for quite a while. What about in the ad tech case? What are the potential consequences for Google's business if it loses that case as well?
That one is seen as like a little bit less significant in the sense that it's a smaller portion of Google's revenue in there. And so theoretically, if they had to spin these off, it would be a really complicated thing, though, because Google kind of built up this business over years, partially through acquisitions of companies like DoubleClick. It's now tightly woven in. And so how Google would actually accomplish this kind of spinoff would be a really complicated thing to do, but it's certainly possible to do it. The consensus on Wall Street is if it came to that, it would not be fatal for Google. Again, because it's a relatively smaller part of the revenue. One important part for the ad tech business is that it's actually not a terribly profitable business because Google actually shares most of the revenue from that with partners.
Give us a sense of how the stock of Alphabet, Google's parent company, has fared compared to other big tech companies.
Lately, it's really showing the effect of this. It was pretty competitive with the rest of the group in the first half of this year. As the company lost that case and as investors are starting to think, oh, what's going to happen eventually over the long term, you've seen a really noticeable decline in the stock. And even more so than the decline we've seen over the last couple of months for the other big techs, because we've kind of seen a market correction and investors getting concerned about some broader things in tech.
And so what are analysts saying about Google's prospects?
Well, it's just a big unknown. And that's part of the problem is that you have this in the search case. We're not going to see a ruling on that on the remedies until August of 2025, likely. And then Google's likely to appeal those, which could tie it up for another 1 or 2 years. So you've got, like, just in that case alone, possibly 2 or 3 more years of just this overhang where investors don't really know what's going to happen ultimately. And so that's probably going to be a bit of a shadow on the stock. Now, that doesn't mean the stock is going to stay down forever, but it might be this overhang relative to the rest of the techs, depending on how those trend and how their cases work out and other dynamics.
That was WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.